Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Blair Kaplan Venables of Blair Kaplan Communications. Blair, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me. What an honor.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I got to be a guest on your show. So Blair, who are you and what do you do?
Oof, lots of loaded questions, Jessica. So I am Blair Kaplan Venables. I'm a social media marketing expert and mentor who empowers entrepreneurs to uplevel their social media skills. I'm also a speaker, a writer, a communicator, and a proud cat mom of three. Born and raised in Winnipeg, I am now in Kamloops, British Columbia, just moved from Pemberton, BC. And my passion is to inspire. My passion is to educate. My passion is to help people through their most difficult times, whether it's in business or in life. I'm also the founder of the I Am Resilient Project. And that's me in a nutshell.
So I'm always curious to hear about people's journey, though. So, you know, how did this passion to help inspire and empower others, where did that come from for you?
Well, I'm Jewish. And at the age of, 11, I started training for my bat mitzvah. And part of my training, you know, is meeting with the rabbi. And I can't tell you the exact moment, but, you know, part of training to be a woman in the Jewish community was to volunteer. And so I started volunteering at a old folks home. Is that even appropriate these days to say that? If it's not, I'm sorry to my listeners. And I would love to know what the correct way to say that is. But I was volunteering with seniors who had Alzheimer's and no family. And so I was going in and volunteering, and it just was very fulfilling to me. And so from that moment on, I was always giving back in some sort of capacity, always volunteering. And as my career grew, like that was 11, and I'm a little bit older than 11 now, what I decided was to always in some capacity give back, whether it's my time, volunteering maybe once a week, once a month, once a year, depending on what my capacity was. And because I felt like no matter what I was doing, I was helping others. And then I realized at the age of 23, at the beginning of the recession in Vancouver, where I was just new to the city, and I started my business because I was a go-getter, am a go-getter. I get shit done. I want to do what I want to do. So I started my own PR company. I realized I could help people in business as well, and that people really needed communications and public relations support. So I just make sure that there's always that level of giving back, whether it's me donating that service or being paid for that service, because knowing that I'm helping someone up level or move through something is what keeps me going. It's what fuels me.
Yeah. There's this amazing moment when you see or hear in somebody's voice that they've like gotten a new way of seeing things, a new path forward. Isn't that just like one of the most amazing moments of being able to help people?
Yeah. And it's great. So like, cause I have these two different elements of helping people, right? I've been in the social media marketing space since before it was a profession. I started a PR company and people meeting me were like, whoa, do you do social media? And I say, yes, I do. And I would learn how to do it. And the fact that I would do that and then someone would hire me and I would do something really cool for them and new and, you know, increase their revenue or increase their visibility and the like happiness they would have from that was very fulfilling or is very fulfilling because I still do that. And then with the I Am Resilient Project, I created a community and a safe space for people to share stories of resilience to help them move through life's most difficult challenges. And the feedback I get from that is, wow, I read that person's story and I feel really inspired. Or Blair, I heard your story and I went to fix things with my dad, or I now have a therapist, or, you know, I use what something you said with one of my students. And knowing that I'm making a difference in people's lives, whether it's business or personal, it's just, I don't even think I have the words for it. Like I feel like I'm put on this earth to be of service. My journey in this body, in this lifetime, my soul's journey is to help people. And I just know that. I feel that so deeply within my veins.
Okay. So there's so much that you just said that I would love to really talk about. But the one that really jumped out at me is, can you please share more about your resilient project? Like, I'm really curious to hear more about what that is.
Yeah. So just a bit of a trigger warning. It gets a little heavy. So if you're listening to this, I'm not a therapist. I'm a professional human. If you need to walk away and listen to this later, great. If you feel triggered, there are supports in your community that can help you reach out to a social worker or a therapist. But my father lives with addiction, and my parents divorced when I was 7 and I was a daddy's girl. And, you know, he was in and out of our life, and I didn't know he was unwell. I thought he just didn't love me anymore, and it was heartbreaking. And so I grew up, you know, with him in and out of my life and a lot of heartbreak and pain and sadness. And I was in my early 20s living in Edmonton working for Lululemon, and they offered me to go to the Landmark Forum. And I saw it as a free trip to Vancouver to see my best friend. So I went, and I went to the Landmark Forum, which is like a personal development forum. To me, it was very blah, blah, bullshit. I didn't care that I was going to that, but something over those few days changed, and I was given the tools that allowed me to forgive my dad, which was great because I went in with no expectations and I came out with a whole redefined relationship with my father. And I reconciled things with my father, and we had this really beautiful conversation, and I decided to just accept him for who he was and accept whatever relationship he can give me and not be mad at the relationship that I had and the relationship that I thought I deserved. And from that moment on, he began his journey to sobriety, and he basically revived relationships with the entire family. And he started to come out from Winnipeg to Vancouver to visit me. And we developed this really beautiful relationship that I never thought I would have. He got to walk me down the aisle at my wedding 4 years ago. But then at the end of 2018, we learned that he was terminally ill, and he was given about 2 to 2.5 years left to live. No, 1.5 to 2 years left. This is 2.5 years ago. He's still alive at time of recording. And so I felt very robbed. Like, my dad was just given back to me, and now he's being taken away again. And it just felt very unfair. And I didn't know what to do with these big feelings of mine. And I'm someone who writes. I like to write. I write social media captions. I write my phone. I write my journal. I write blog posts. And so I just started telling my story to whoever would listen of forgiveness and addiction and resilience and the journey I've had with my father. And what was happening was people were giving me that feedback of, wow, your story is so inspiring. Like, I want to go fix things with my dad, or I went and got a therapist because I want to fix things with my mom. And I said, you know what, Dad, I think we're onto something. And I know you like to, telling the story is healing for you. And it's liberating, because, addiction is something that a lot of people hide. And, you have to talk to people, whether it's a therapist or a jerk. Like, he kept it inside, my dad. And I was there just helping him move through the healing. And I said, you know what? What if we write a book about resilience, and we share our stories, my story and your story, and we gather stories of resilience, and we publish a book, and it could be a legacy piece, and it could be a tool to help people, this beautiful coffee table style book. And he's like, yeah, okay. And so we started. I was like, I guess I need a website to gather the story. So I built a website, and then I need social media to market. So I did that. And that was, again, 2.5 years ago. And so we've been collecting these stories of resilience. And it's actually been really interesting, because this whole time we thought my dad would, move on from this lifetime. And since starting that, my husband and I, my family and I have gone through so many difficult moments. And, the stories in this project have really been a source of power and inspiration for me. And so, the website's iamresilient.info. And the book, the first published book, is going to be out this fall 2021. So I'm really excited about that. I really hope my dad is still here to see that finished product. Like I said, I've had some challenges since we've started. I've lost a fair amount of family members and had some big challenges. My husband had a heart attack and quadruple bypass surgery. I lost my grandfather. I had a miscarriage that was very traumatic. And I lost my father-in-law and my mother in a 3-month period. So it's been quite a challenging time. And I don't know where I would be without the project. And this, that source of power in the sense of reading people's tips for getting through their difficult time and knowing that I'm going to be okay. And I am resilient, and that if I can get up in the morning and live life moment by moment and heal and do the things I need to do to heal and move forward, that I'm going to be okay.
What a beautiful story of being able to take, like you say, some of the most challenging parts of your life and be able to help others and inspire others and have them also be inspired from your story and your vulnerability. That's just beautiful. And I love that that's where you've taken this, that after those years of dealing with your father and your own feelings, your big feelings, which I love you saying about it, and being able to turn it into something so beautiful that the two of you can share, but not only just the two of you, but you've been able to turn it, like you say, into a community and a legacy piece that others can also benefit from.
Yeah. Thank you. It's, you know, I very much believe in manifestation. My husband, not so much. And he said to me the other day, he's like, you maybe need to wrap this project up because like you keep having to be resilient. I was like, maybe I should change the name. Like instead of I am resilient, it should be you are resilient. But it's definitely like I called it a project because I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, is this going to be the only book? Are we going to put the book out and get flooded with thousands of stories? I believe every story deserves to get told and every story is published on the website and social media, but not every story is going to make it in the book because I can't do that. So I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, I see it as like a somewhat like a chicken soup for the teenage soul type of book with like a choose your own adventure.
Oh, I love it. So is this any of this where the podcast came from or those completely separate entities?
Oh, okay. So Dissecting Success. So Teresa Lambert and I, we're friends from the Whistler business community. And every so often we just get together for coffee. And, you know, I wrote a book called Pulsing Through My Veins, Raw and Real Stories from an Entrepreneur. And just so you know, I wrote that book to learn how to write a book. And I became a bestseller, but I learned to write a book. So I knew what I was doing when it came to the I'm Resilient project, which is funny. And she wanted to write a book. And so I, you know, kind of guided her a little bit that way, but we became business besties and we were having these like really brilliant conversations about success. And I said, you know what, we need to record these and start a podcast and we can invite people on because the conversations are just like, not like you can't Google this type of shit. You know, about what success is. Like we are raised to think success is a certain thing, the big house, the nice job, the fancy car, but like, it isn't that, or maybe it is to you, but it's so much more than that, you know? And like you said, joy is what success is, happiness, freedom. There's all these other elements and it's not about like, you know, the tangible, physical, flashy things. And so anyways, these conversations were just too good to not share. And so that's how the podcast was born. It was born just to have these conversations available and to bring on people like yourself that have these really beautiful stories and, you know, perceptions of success and, you know, gift the people of the world with that insight. And what was cool was that from that, we created Momentum, which is our 6-month business accelerator. So we do 2-to-1 coaching. And we are just, you know, we have one more month left with our first cohort and we're going to be launching our second cohort at the end of the year. But that came from the chemistry that Teresa and I have and the background and knowledge we have is so different, but it complements each other so well. Like her background is in business and in the hotel industry and taking a 7-figure business to an 8-figure business. And I've been an entrepreneur for a very long time. My business just turned 13 and my background's in marketing and PR. And so together we're able to take our clients on this really beautiful growth journey. And so that Momentum, our coaching program, came out of the podcast, which came out of just awesome conversations. It was never us sitting down going, let's start a podcast and then we'll launch some coaching. And then it was just all because of pure passion and that our insight and knowledge seemed to be something that quenched people's thirst.
Yeah. And being open to see the opportunities. That's the part that I really love for people to hear from that message is you guys were already just doing something that you had fun doing, right? You hooked up, you had these amazing conversations and you didn't hold so tightly to this is what I'm doing and that's what you're doing. And we're separate. You realized that coming together and then it opened up all those other doors for you guys that you hadn't seen.
And you know what? It's really nice because, you know, like I said earlier in this interview, I have had a lot of loss, you know, and we built out, you know, a launch plan for Momentum, and we still had a multiple five-figure launch while I lost my mother and while I was burying my mother. I was 1 foot in, but because I had a partner, she helped me when I couldn't be 100% in, and I help her when she needs to be, you know, 1 foot out, because life happens and we both have our own businesses and our own families and our own lives. And we decided that dissecting success, we're going to do as long as it's fun. As soon as it becomes a chore, as soon as all of this becomes a chore or work, we're out.
No, and I totally get that, because that's, like you said, you know, that's my whole modus operandi, is if it's not bringing me joy, it's not happening. So I love that, you know, you're also suggesting that, and that you guys have created an entire podcast series to be able to explore that success does not come packaged just one way.
Exactly. And it changes. It changes. Like, so yeah, I started my business when I was 23. I'm living downtown Vancouver. You know, if you don't know, Vancouver is one of the most expensive cities. I was living by myself, living the dream. And I had such false expectations. Like, I'm going to live downtown, start my business, roll in the coin. But really what was happening was I was bartering. I was working for some big companies, but not charging my worth. I was doing some cool stuff, but still hardly making ends meet. But the clients I had were so impressive that people were like, whoa, you're so successful in your early 20s. Like, there's not a lot of people like you out there doing this. And I thought that was amazing. Like, great. But like, I'm buying my groceries at the dollar store and making a box of macaroni last for three meals, which I still probably, well, I can't. No, I could eat a whole box in one sitting. And then, you know, then fast forward, you know, 10 years, I had a really great roster of clients. I was turning clients away. And I was too busy. I was too busy. And I was being pulled in so many different directions. And I had the money, but I didn't even have time to like deposit the bank checks with my like app, my banking app. And I was miserable because I didn't have any free time. So it's like, where is that balance? And so I made a decision that I was going to take on only clients that fulfilled me, be very selective, you know, build a business where the clients come to me. Most of my clients are all referral based. That's how my business has been built, is referrals and social media and networking and PR. And, you know, now I'm in a place where I choose to only be fulfilled and I refuse to be busy. To me, busy is very chaotic for me. Anyone else can be busy, but I don't want to be busy. I want to be fulfilled. If something makes me feel chaotic, it's a busy task. If something makes me feel fulfilled, and I can make money from it, that's like the golden, you know, the golden egg. But, you know, it took a while to get here. And so like, success to me wasn't the big clients with no money. Success to me wasn't lots of money in no time. Success really is that level of balance and happiness and being able to, you know, do my work and go play and not be thinking about work while I'm, you know, hiking in the mountains. And it's about being able to pay my bills. And if I want to splurge on something, I can. It's about, you know, being able to donate. My cousins just did a ride. We've lost a lot of family members to cancer, and they just did a fundraiser for Cancer Care Manitoba. And it was, I know I donated a few hundred dollars, like being able to feel comfortable to do stuff like that. That's what success is to me. And that's probably going to be different in a year. But these, it's cool because everyone is on their own journey. We actually call it, it's not the path to success, but is the success path. Success is the path. Success is the journey. It's not the destination. And it's really cool because everyone has a different perception of it.
Yeah, that's the beautiful part, is that everybody gets to decide for themselves what that looks like and how that feels and how they want that to show up in their life. And then back to the manifesting, is the more that people start to pay attention to that, the more of it that will show up. So I love that you are on that same page, especially considering the success that you've had, you know, the financial success, the business success, you know, that you've been able to really dial in what that looks like for you and yet still be able to carry on with it. Like, it doesn't mean giving up the financial side of things, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think also, you know, I used to be scared of money. I used to be scared of admitting what I wanted to make. It might just come from my, you know, family background. I'm not really sure, you know, because my dad was very successful. He was a diamond dealer, but then he developed a severe addiction and sold the business and life changed. And so money was always a weird subject for me and my family. And like, it's still weird. I'm doing a lot of reading and listen to podcasts. I'm learning to get comfortable with it. And I started doing some group coaching. Like I was a student and we had a speaker come in who talked about money. And I just started reframing the way I saw money. And as soon as I did that, I became really comfortable with talking about my financial goals. And, you know, on August 8th, it was my birthday and the Lionsgate portal opened, which is a big manifestation day. And I decided that I desire to empower 8 million people and make $8 million by the time I'm 40. So in the next, you know, under 4 years. And being honest about my goals, like I would like to make $1 million in year 36 of my life. Yeah, like I can do it because I'm choosing to do it. And some things I set goals and I achieve them. Some things drop in that I didn't even know I was looking for. And the more money I make, the more I'm able to help other people. Like I want to help women entrepreneurs. I want to help people struggling with mental health and addiction. I want to help people. People need help. So if I can help them with my words, great. If I can help them with money, great. You know, and the more I make, the more I'm able to give back.
Yeah. So I was looking at your website and one of the things that I saw is this is how you describe what you do is you're empowering people to up-level their social media skills. And the word in there that I love so much is that it's empowering. And that to me is so much of what you've just been talking about, right? Is everything that you do, even when you're not using the word specifically, it really is what's running through like the entire flow of what you're doing. It's really about creating more tools for people, skills, and just showing them a way so that they can feel empowered for themselves, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. And like, here, listen to this. Okay. So I'm learning more about numerology, human design, and all of that stuff. It's new to me. And, you know, I learned I'm a manifestor generator. And so my birthday is August 8th, which is the 8th of the 8th. And what I was doing was I was learning more about this Lionsgate portal opening. And it's a big manifestation day because 8 is actually like, it means empowerment. Like one of the meanings of 8 is empowerment. And I didn't know any of this till this summer. But when I, you know, a new year comes, like the beginning of the year before January, I pick a word or two to be my word. And I decided, you know what, my word for 2021 is empowerment. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to build a program around empowerment. It's a group coaching program. And I'm just going to use this word because the more I use it, the more I feel it inside me. And so it's so crazy that like, you know, I ended up building a group coaching program, which launches this fall called Empowerment, a six-month group coaching program, which is going to be awesome. It's amazing that I've included those words in my personal and professional goals, that my lucky number is 8. I'm born on like the 8th of the 8th. It's so interesting how this all came together because I really believe there are no coincidences. And I just love that you said that because that's my mission here is to empower people. You know, maybe it's to empower you to get off the couch and go into nature. Maybe it's empowering you to just read some stories and or to journal or to learn how to use Facebook for business. Like, I don't know what it is, but empowerment is so important because it's not about me coming in and doing something for you. It's about me inspiring you to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that part of that is about telling their stories, right? Like you're talking about your I'm Resilient project, which is all about sharing stories, you know? And then when it comes to social media, really, that's what it is. It's just sharing stories to, you know, have other people become attracted to what your message is. And so I love that, you know, the empowering and sharing stories is kind of like the foundation of what your entire business and your life is about.
Exactly. Yes. And so it's so interesting because my biggest thing with social media is telling stories, tell, don't sell. And storytelling is like, you know, I've been on a few interviews lately where they're like, what, tell us about the algorithm. Like, what's the secret? I'm like, fuck the algorithm. Just show up and be you and be authentic and be vulnerable and share stories. You don't need to share everything. Like, you don't need to be as like, you know, wild and outrageous as I am, but tell stories. Like, don't show up and be fake. Don't, you know, don't be what your competition is. Be you. People buy from people and people want to know the stories. And there's lots of ways to do that. And that's how I teach people. People work with me because they want to show up online like I do. And, you know, I've created the social media empowerment pillars, which are super exciting. And that's what my whole course is built around, or the empowerment pillars. And these are the pillars I've built and implemented. So when something happens, my business is still running itself. Like when my mother passed away, I was still having really big months of sales. I was still having, you know, I had to turn clients away because I had the, you know, I had a capacity issue. But, you know, and even now, the other month I was talking to Teresa, I was like, holy shit, like I had the biggest month I've ever had. And it was a multiple five-figure month. I was like, oh my gosh, can't wait to like right now. You can't see me because you're listening to me in your ears and maybe you're driving or walking or hiking or doing the dishes, but I'm standing in my mother-in-law's bedroom because we're in the middle of moving. We, you know, after all the loss, we decided to live closer to Shane's family. Well, my family too is Shane's family and we don't get our house till September 2nd. And so for the last like couple months, we've been living at my mother-in-law's and she's given us her master bedroom and I'm preparing for a photo shoot. So that like, the whole room is turned into a closet. And, you know, I'm just like you. I am just like you. I'm a person surviving this life. Thrival is actually a word I use. I'm in the process of going from survival to thrival and I'm doing what I need to do. I've been a nomad. I've had my paddleboard, a box of shoes and a couple chairs in my CRV. And I've been bouncing from friends' houses in Vancouver to cabins, to lakes, to, you know, work, to clients, to my mother-in-law's house. And I've been a nomad. I've been working in coffee shops with Wi-Fi, tethering, still building my business, still having these huge milestones because I've built out these pillars.
Yeah. I love that you're, you know, recognizing that, you know, even though you are personally going through your own challenges with, you know, a challenge being, you know, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, building a new house or moving into a new home, but still that, you know, there are challenges there and that, you know, you recognize that we all have them and I'm not any more special than you or somebody else, but you're still there and you're sharing those vulnerable moments to show other people that you can still continue your business, even though life is happening around you.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, this all started because before my business was built around doing the marketing for you, because there's a few different things. There's done by you, done with you, done for you. I was fully done for you, but I hit a capacity issue. And when my husband had his heart attack, it was very hard to do marketing for other people. You know, my husband almost died and we were in the hospital for 3 weeks, like 2 weeks before the surgery, living, you know, I was living out of a suitcase, bouncing around and he was at the hospital because we didn't live near a hospital. And I just started thinking about my business. I'm like, I'm going to shift gears. And I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but it all fell into place. And I shifted to being the, you know, I still take on a few clients where I do the marketing, but I really believe in, you know, I believe in empowerment. And a lot of small businesses, you know, it's more affordable to do a group coaching program than to hire me to do it for them. And I made that shift because I've learned that a lot of people want to learn how to do it and they want to be empowered and be inspired. And, you know, it's really cool to see because before, you know, I'm all for outsourcing. Like I've really started to be empowered to outsource certain things and use certain software. Like before, like for the longest time, I was like, I'm going to make my own invoices in Word. And I started using QuickBooks. I'm like, why have I not done this sooner? Like there's tools and systems out there to be more efficient that are going to save you time. And, you know, so I've started looking at the tasks I can delegate. But yeah, like back then when that happened with Shane, I was like, I got to switch my business model out because I'm, you know, I'm capped out. I'm stressed out. I feel busy and I want a way to diversify my income so that if something happens again, to, you know, at this level, I still have streams of income coming in. And so I did. Anyone can do that.
Yeah. And I also love the message that, you know, even though, yes, your husband was going through a very difficult situation with a heart attack, which is also a difficult situation for yourself. But what that does is there's always, see, my way of seeing the world, not same for everybody, is that there is always a silver lining somewhere if you choose to see it. So you were able to take that as, again, another opportunity to pivot and shift and see things differently and recognize that whatever comes at you, you can find a solution for.
Exactly. I actually believe there's always a silver lining and sometimes I don't see it in hindsight. And I think it's really important to learn how to see it. And it's okay if you can't, but it's there. And I just stopped. I didn't want to live in this place of self-pity and I still have it. Like I still feel sad when things happen. But I know that once I'm through it, in that rearview mirror, I'll see that silver lining and see that lesson that I can apply to my life and move forward with. And not everyone has that ability. And it's okay if you don't. I've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of personal development, professional development, therapy. I've done that. I've done a lot of work. And, you know, also sometimes I can't even see it till like a year or two later. Like I've had some pretty dark shit happen. Like I was in an abusive relationship and I left him and I was homeless for like 3 weeks, and not like sleeping on the streets, but bouncing around. I got an apartment, but my business was suffering during that period. And this was a long time ago. I've been with my husband for 10 years and I couldn't get clients because I was so depressed. And finally shit hit the fan. I'm like, what's the saying? Shit hit the fan. And I decided to leave this person. I was like, okay, well, I need money. So I made it happen. I called all the people who were talking about hiring me. I made it an appetizing offer. I said, great, we need a deposit. Went, picked up all the checks, got an apartment, and I made it happen. So in this, you know, that was one of the worst experiences I've had, being in an abusive relationship and homeless. Like my friend was house sitting and he was letting me in at night to this person's house to sleep on the couch. And every morning I'd leave and what, you know, it was just not like an ideal situation for someone, for anyone. And it was depressing. I didn't have help from my family at the time. Like I didn't really tell many people I was going through it because it was embarrassing. And now I look back at it, and if that didn't happen, like would my business have become as successful as it is now? Because it was sink or swim. It was literally sink or swim. Like I could have got on a plane back to Winnipeg and just like, you know, put my head down and tail between my legs and hung out with my mom. But instead I stayed in Vancouver and I fought it out and I made it work and people hired me. And one of those clients I got on Dragon's Den, and another one of those clients is a globally recognized family company that owns a bunch of recognized skiing and golf brands. And I took them all on social media and I got to do some really big things. But would I have been able to do that if I didn't end up having to leave this person and be homeless briefly? Probably not.
Yeah. And that's a message that I really hope people are hearing, is that yes, life sucks, you know, a lot sometimes, but if you can keep the focus on what your ultimate goal is, right? So back to the whole success model, right? Knowing what that prize or that journey is supposed to be like for you, I think is really what can help us get through those moments.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you're someone who's like listening to this, and you're like, oh, I've been through some hard things. I didn't see any lessons or silver linings. That's okay. That is completely okay. Or maybe take a minute and think about anything potentially positive that came from that situation, or, you know, something that happened because of that situation that led you on the path you are today.
Or reach out to somebody else. Cause one of my favorite quotes is you can't read the label from inside the jar. And to me, that just means that sometimes we need somebody else's perspective on our situations who are not as emotionally attached and can actually see things much more clear. So, you know, if you feel like you've been through the shit storm of life and you didn't see that silver lining, reach out to Blair, reach out to myself, reach out to anybody who can help you see that maybe there was a silver lining and you just missed it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a very thin silver lining that you could only see very far away from the situation. I mean, yes. I just lost my mother. It was very sudden. Like it wasn't like an impact. It was, she learned she had cancer and 3 weeks later she was gone. And that was completely unexpected. And there's no lessons from that. I didn't learn any lessons. I mean, I have a lot of things I wish I would have, you know, I wish if COVID wasn't so bad, I would have spent more time with her and all these things. And I can't live in the state of what if, but I set a goal at the beginning of the year to get out of debt, and her inheritance helped me do that. And I much would rather her be alive. Right. Like,
right.
But I can't make her come back. You know, mm-hmm. My sister and I spent months together, the most amount of time we've spent together, probably ever. We've had some really beautiful time together, you know, and everyone was, cause she's 3.5 years younger than me. Everyone's like, are you guys getting along? Cause you hear these horror stories about siblings and the estates. Alana and I have not fought once. You know, we got our mother's signature tattooed on our wrists together, and we created, you know, beautiful rings out of heirloom jewelry that we got. There's all these really beautiful things that came out of something so terrible. And I'm choosing not to live in the terribleness of it because it's too hard. I still cry. I just had my wedding anniversary and, you know, I was expecting a text from her and I didn't get it. And Facebook has all these memories popping up of her, you know, wishing us happy anniversary. And it's okay to be sad, but I want to balance that with all these really beautiful moments, like songs that come on the radio that I never hear on the radio, and they come on and I think maybe it's a sign from her. And it's really beautiful. So, you know, I think in life's most difficult challenges, there can always be some sort of lesson or silver lining. And it takes work to learn how to find them and to see them.
Yes, absolutely. So what I was thinking about earlier that I forgot, but now I've remembered, I was going to say, you were talking about people come to you and they want you to bust the algorithm for them, right? I think my opinion is the algorithm is creating those genuine connections with people. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, social media, like each social media platform wants you to spend more time on the network, right? And people follow people they are interested in or businesses they're interested in, whether they like their vibe, the content they're sharing, they want to do business with them, they want to be associated with them, whatever it might be. But you're right. Maybe the algorithm really is interpersonal communication and connection. And I think the algorithm, like maybe it's an algorithm that goes beyond the physical apps and it's what happens outside the apps. What do you think?
I love that idea because that's the problem is I think so often we focus so much on trying to scream into a noisy room and hope to get attention when really, like you say, it really does come down to being able to step away from all of these apps. And that's where the business really really takes form, right? Mm-hmm. So figuring out a way to connect with people to a place where they actually are open to having that connection with you outside of that, jumping on a phone call, or even, you know, even if it is just DMing, it takes work to do that. But I think that work is about truly being genuinely connected and having an interest in them and knowing that you, what you have to offer can help them. So I love that you said that, taking it off the app.
Yeah. I just want to put some disclaimers out there. If you're someone who's trying to pitch your business and you've never met the person, don't be spamming them. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves. Like the other day I got approached by three different people that requested to add me to Facebook. We had a lot of mutual friends and each of them right away pitched me whatever business they were selling. And to me, that is so unauthentic because people do business from people they like, know, and trust. And I didn't have any of those factors with any of those people.
Yes, absolutely. Back to the whole genuine connection part.
Exactly. Genuine.
Yes. Genuine. This person might actually want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly. And like, also like, right? It's okay if you want to pitch, but like maybe spend a couple months or a month or so cultivating that relationship. You know, social media, like people use it for all different things and, you know, read the room. Like, is that person just using it mostly to connect with family and share their spaghetti recipes? Maybe don't pitch them a business, but I'll ask them to go for lunch. Right.
So, now, can we share? I want to hear a little bit more about the work that you're doing. So I noticed when I was stalking you, because that's what I do, that you have a free social media checklist that you offer people.
Oh, yes. So I, first of all, love that you stalk people. I do it too. I love lists. I love lists. I have like a notebook of lists. And sometimes I make a list for my lists on post-it notes. I love lists. And one of the common themes that I've seen over the years is people just not knowing what to do when on social media. So I created a gift for anyone who wants one. And it's a social media checklist package with daily, weekly, and monthly checklists. And you can get that on my website, blairkaplan.ca. And I think, you know, the list is always, you know, evolving, but just acts as a guide of, oh, did you do this today? Did you do this this week? Did you do this this month? Oh, you didn't. Well, here's a gentle reminder. You should.
No, I love it too. You and I are like the same person because I'm looking around my room at all my sticky notes that I have. And I'll do something and then add it to my list just so I can cross it off.
Me too. You know, so oh my gosh. Good. Me too. It's
like, why didn't that make my list? That really should have been there.
Well, it's also like, now I feel guilty that I didn't do something on my list, but if I put it on my list, it was on my list. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've done something. Yes, I can check it off. So yes, I love that you also, you know, recognize the power, right? I mean, it's that reminder that we all need is to be able to just go through and go, okay, so this is the business that I'm building and this is what it's going to require. Have I done the things? Because that's where people fall down, is like they're just not doing the things.
And like some of the things that really get missed is social media engagement. You can't just schedule your content and disappear. You can't post and ghost. you need to be a real person. Like, it's better for you to spend time engaging than spend time making posts and not engaging, because there needs to be a real human on the other end of your posts. And that's you or someone you hire. And, you know, the biggest thing I see people like slip through the cracks is engagement. And there's always time to engage, you know, the good old poop and post. I'm just kidding. But in the bath or watching hockey or lying at the beach or, you know, waiting, you know, being a passenger in a car, waiting, you know, waiting for the next person to get in for your carpool. Like, I don't really know. There's time in everyone's day to spend at least 10 minutes engaging.
Yeah, I agree. And from what I know, which is not much, about certain algorithms is that the more engagement a post gets, the more it shows up to more people. That's my understanding.
That's true. That goes back to the algorithm thing. But I also just think it piques people's curiosity. Like, when people like my posts and I don't know them, and sometimes it's hundreds, I go look who they are. If they look interesting, I follow them, and people do the same. So when you do that, people, you know, it's like a small tap on the shoulder. It's like someone recognizing you in a room or, you know, noticing you're there. And you can, you know, find people through hashtags or other accounts. Like, there's lots of ways to find people, but you know, you want to be there and be active because that's how you build community.
Yes, absolutely. Back to that community that you're building with I Am Resilient Project. It's one of my favorite words is community. And I think it gets overlooked by people as they think that they can just, like you say, post and ghost. It's like, if I just drop myself into enough places that somebody eventually will just go, huh, I should hire her. Like, it doesn't work that way.
No. And like, it's cool because people can like show up on your social media anytime and scroll through all your posts. So, you know, if you feel like life's getting in the way and you don't post for a little bit, that's fine because your stuff's still there. But if you have time to engage a little bit every day, you're still showing up. Showing up, that's half the battle, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. So that media checklist, where can people find it again?
BlairKaplan.ca. So that's BlairKaplan.ca. And it pops up on my homepage.
Awesome. And so now you mentioned briefly a couple of the programs that you're offering. And I noticed you have a waiting list for them, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Can you just quickly share a little bit, just, you know, because I'm sure that by now people are thinking that they'd love to pick up your book or learn more about the work that you do. So how can we help them find you?
So my website, BlairKaplan.ca, is the home to all the information. And so my book, you can purchase through my website, but you can get it on Amazon. If you're interested in being on the wait list, I'm going to actually rename it the VIP list. I heard a coach say it the other day and I love it. Because if you're some of the first to be on the list and you sign up, you'll get some extra bonuses. But the empowerment program, the group coaching program, Empowerment, it's a 6-month coaching program that helps you be a thought leader in your space using digital tools. And that kicks off at the end of September. So we're just collecting people who are interested in more information now. And then there's the up-leveling, and the up-leveling is private coaching. You get to work with me for a minimum of 3 months, and we work on anything that you want to work on in the sense of building your business, public relations, publicity, social media marketing, writing a book, anything that I've experienced in. I only usually have a couple of those spots available, and I have a few opening up in the fall. And that's great because you have unlimited access to me and access to my templates and my forms and everything I've created. And then I do other, you know, other things here and there. If you're like, whoa, I need a social media strategy, Blair, can you help? And if I have the capacity, I can do that. I'm really looking at opportunities to get on stage. I'm just in the process of planning out my 2022 speaking opportunities. I think the world's going to open back up, but I speak about anything to do with social media strategization, and resilience. Oh, and women in business. So you can head to my website to learn about everything I do and check out some media features. I've been in Forbes and Entrepreneur, Yahoo. So super cool.
Awesome. Okay. Before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level, one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
Invest in a business coach of sorts. Have someone work with you. Don't do it all alone. Find someone that you can learn from. Mentors, coaches, someone who has done what you've done, someone who inspires you, let them hold your hand.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Blair, so much again for being on the show. Let's just quickly wrap this up by telling them where to find you and Teresa for your podcast, because I would love to have people go over and check that out. So Dissecting Success, and where can they find that?
Yeah, anywhere you listen to apps, you can find Dissecting Success. There's also a podcast tab on my website. If you listen, we'd love to have a review from you. Maybe give us a follow. Specifically, check out Jessica's episode. It's really interesting about how she got into NLP and what success means to her. I loved recording it with her. It was so much fun. That's how we developed this friendship. So you can head to your favorite podcast app. And I am, thank you so much for having me. This was quite the blast to record.
Awesome. Thanks so much.